Let's head down the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline to welcome in the voice of the Toronto Blue Jays on the Sportsnet Radio Network, Ben Wagner. Mr. Wagner, how are you?
Greetings from the Bronx. What's going on?
The Bronx, wow.
First time this year, too, which is crazy that we're at the end of June and you haven't been there yet.
You know, it's really weird, but it does work out in fortune for the Blue Jays because they've got a little momentum, walk-off win over the Angels, taking 2 out of 3, and maybe even a potential 3-game series sweep, but that didn't work out on Friday night for the Blue Jays. But a really nice start to the road trip when you can go into Fenway on a weekend where those bats are healthy and the Red Sox hadn't been missing many beats, and they got good pitching performances and snagged 2 out of 3, so it's setting up nicely.
Beating up Sale again, too. What's going on with Chris Sale against the Jays?
I don't know. You know what? I mean, he looks out of rhythm for me on the mound. Totally different stuff. Don't get me wrong here, but Sale just tries to work around the zone instead of pounding the zone, and it's almost like what we've seen from Aaron Sanchez early in innings over the last handful of starts. Again, different stuff. Obviously, right-handed versus left-handed. But guys that just used to absolutely crush the zone, break bats, get balls beaten into the ground, are just trying to get guys to chase stuff. And Blue Jays were laying off the slider that Sale was trying to throw, especially down and in on right-handed hitters. And to their credit, for a ball club that has been overmatched a lot, they made Chris Sale work and work really, really hard. And it started in inning number one, where he had to use 36 pitches, and that set the tone the rest of the night, at least against Chris Sale. I know they didn't win that ball game, but that was a pretty good statement piece going into Fenway Park on Friday night and set up the next 2 days.
Yeah, man, it's been a tough season for Blue Jays fans watching a lot of nights. It's just not been close, but it does finally feel like, okay, when you look at this lineup and you're seeing Guerrero, Gurriel, Biggio, 2, 3, 4 in a lineup, like, yes, this is the future here. These are the guys that they're going to win behind, never mind adding a Bichette into the pitcher. And which other parts stay and go, who knows? But all of a sudden, you're seeing the core of the future, where all the way back to May and April, there was a point where none of these guys were here. And I think that's encouraging. It's also encouraging that they took, 2 or 3 from the Yankees last time they saw them, then 2 or 3 of the Red Sox heading into this one. But maybe not meaning they'll take 2 of the 3 this time.
You would hope. But here's the difference. They've got a guy named Aaron Judge. It's back and available. Giancarlo Stanton, he's back and available. Judge isn't in the lineup tonight. It's an off day for him. Edwin Encarnacion's getting an off day. But this is a Yankees team where Aaron Boone has pieced together a lineup now for nearly a month, and they, have one point or another, have hit a home run in 26 consecutive games. And you're getting it from DJ LeMahieu, and you're getting it from Gary Sanchez, obviously. Gio Urshela has been off the scrap heap from Toronto, plugged in and getting frequent reps and thriving at an opportunity with the New York Yankees, to the point where he went from an expendable piece now to a guy that you want to play at third base, where you're not going to have Miguel Andujar back, and he's a nice compliment on the left side with Didi Gregorius. So it's a much different lineup than just 3 weeks ago when the Yankees were at Rogers Center, but it comes down to pitching. And if the Blue Jays can have good pitching performances, and they need one from Aaron Sanchez, and they've got a backup plan if he goes short with Sean Reed Foley, and then Clayton Richard, he was okay the last time out, and then you got Trent Thornton, who has had his two best major league outings and back-to-back starts, lining up for a third. So it tees up well if the Blue Jays can get over the hump tonight.
Tell us about what you've seen from Kevin Biggio, because the first 10, 11 games weren't easy, but then again, I mean, who is it easy for? This is the majors, the first time guys have ever seen pitching like this, and since then, it's almost looked easy for the guy.
It does at times look easy. He never looks overmatched, and that's so impressive because that's the bigger jump. When you're coming out of the minors, getting to the major leagues, you know guys are going to try to establish dominance with fastballs in, break your bat, see if they can make you look silly by chasing breaking balls. Kevin doesn't do it. Kevin's bad ball swing rate is tops in the major leagues since he came to the major leagues. I'm not talking about rookies either. I'm talking about everybody in the game. He will not chase bad balls outside the zone, almost to his detriment, because he refuses to swing at strikes, and he's taken some strike threes that are off the edge one way or the other just because he knows it's a ball, and he doesn't want to chase pitcher pitches. So he's never overmatched. He's obviously got this keen eye. And then what you're seeing in an adjustment phase in right field, which he is totally accepting he can do, he'll obviously play first base, but he's really now finding his own rhythm at second base too, and that's where Charlie Montoya wants to play more of him. And if the lineups construct and the pitching matchups construct, you're going to see a lot of Kevin Biggio playing at second base.
Ben Wagner is our guest. The Blue Jays in the Bronx tonight for game one of a three-game set against the New York Yankees with Aaron Sanchez on the mound. We'll join that game in progress at 6 here on the on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You know, you were talking about Biggio, and we've seen it a little bit more here from Vladdy Jr., but it was obviously a slow build. I know Mike Trout was just in Toronto on the weekend talking to Hazel May about his first couple of days in the big leagues as that top prospect. You want to fix everything with one swing. It has gotten better for Vladdy. So I guess just a huge broad question, Ben. How have you seen Vladdy kind of adjust to big league life, and what are you seeing from him right now?
Well, I think it's somebody that has had his moments where he's been humbled. Offensively and defensively, he gets really frustrated. We're seeing more of the personality from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. over the last 2 weeks than what we saw in the first four or five, because some of the frustration, balls that he thinks that he should have backhanded or made plays on that may have just been out of the dive, or, you know, he clanks and he slaps his hand on his thigh or the glove. He didn't have that kind of reaction the first couple of weeks. I think he was trying to let the game slow down around him where he could fall into a little bit better of a groove, feel more comfortable as well, and he didn't want to get exposed to be too flashy or too down on himself in those moments. But now you're trying to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. take the field every day and come through, make the routine plays. Now, it's been a big adjustment at the plate, too. There's been some ebbs and flows. We all know that. And I think the last couple of weeks, he realizes how far he has to go to be one of the game's elite players, because he's watched Shohei Ohtani, because he watched Mike Trout dominate the series in those four games against the Blue Jays. And also, he just came away from Fenway Park, where Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Rafael Devers, although Rafael Devers didn't play in the field every day, he came off the bench in clutch situations as an injured player and cashed in the big moments both times he came to the plate. And I think as a young player, Vladdy and the kind of that core group realized, wow, you know what? We're really good right now, but this is where we can be, and we've got to continue to work harder to get there.
Two more for you. I guess the first one would be on Marcus Stroman, who pitched yesterday, pitched real well. Obviously, there was a bit of a spat with Dennis Eckersley on the Nesson broadcast, didn't like his comments, but he has been the lone and far and away bright spot of this Blue Jay rotation. I know Ryan Pinder, who's sitting across from me, you know, pulls his hair out when he hears trade rumors involving Stroman. I think we all anticipate he could be gone by the end of July, but what are your thoughts on him? And I guess, where's your gut on whether or not they should move him, or should they be signing this guy to a long-term extension?
Every start that Marcus Stroman makes from here on out could be his last with the Toronto Blue Jays. If it is a package that is not only going to benefit the Blue Jays in the short-term return on what's on paper, but also in what can be projected, whether it's the number of prospects, whether it's the number of guys that can help a ball club in the next year or two that are deemed major league ready. It has to be a absolute no-brainer for the Toronto Blue Jays to move Marcus Stroman and pull the trigger. There will be suitors, and as Marcus Stroman continues to go out, shove zeros, and pitch deep into ball games, he will only raise his stock for a big return for the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't think you're And we talked to Marcus about it earlier today. The extension conversation, I think, has been shut down. He says it's not heading that way, and he is fully prepared mentally and physically to have a change of address in the coming days or coming weeks, and it could happen at any time. And it was really interesting watching him throw against the Boston Red Sox, who, let's be honest, could be one of the suitors or under the evaluation of other teams that just watch him kind of pick apart the Boston lineup and dominate them. And have just another sterling performance again. It's only going to benefit Marcus Stroman.
I know he talked.
So I'm sorry, Ryan Pinder will be bald.
I know that we talked about it, or he talked about it today in the Bronx. Not sure if you're around that scrum. I know you got to run. So just quickly, yes or no? We could be watching him against his new team. No, it sounds like the Yankees are right in there too.
He would love it. He's got 60 people on the field today. Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks came over. They signed some autographs for a Little League team off Long Island that that Marcus Stroman sponsors. His brother's part of it as a 12-year-old travel team. They're all on the field. They're absolutely eating it up. And Marcus was asked directly about that today, and he said, when he was asked about being a potential New York Yankee, and he said, he loves New York. I'm from New York, and I've been built for New York.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to the call tonight. We'll join it at 6 o'clock against the Yankees.